It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
The occasional invitational is back. That's the ESPN 975 occasional invitational. It'll be April 29th at Sterling Country Club. Early bird registration is open now until the 12th. All you got to do is go to our website, ESPN975.com. Click on the occasional invitational. And when you check out, put in the promo code early bird to get the early bird discount. We will have a full day of golf, drinks, lunch, and lunch provided by Brownback Deli. And dinner from Valencia's, and prizes for our top teams. So sign up now for the ESPN 97.5 Occasional Invitational. Just go to ESPN975.com. We're going to hear from a record holder in a little bit, because I don't normally care about Red Sox Brewers for any reason, unless one of them is in town. But good old Wilson Contreras provided something last night. And I did not know he was a record holder until I just looked it up, but I think he's well within his rights to go about his business the way he did last night. We'll get to that, but first, let's get to Eric. Eric wants to join us. You can follow him at 713-780-3776. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Dad. How you doing today? Yeah, I think thinking about the Rockets with the other two teams in Texas, they're going in the right direction. You know, drafting young players like Cooper Flagg, generational players like Cooper Flagg and Wimby for the Spurs, and then Flagg with the Mavericks. All the Rockets have is KD, who's almost 40, with like three or four burner accounts. So how do you feel about that? I don't think the Rockets will go far. And if they don't, do you think the coach will get fired? I'll hang up and listen.
For people who can't see, I'm actually just chuckling at Eric because I am a fan of someone who's committed to the bit, whatever the bit is. Ime Udoka, in the middle of a six-game winning streak. And I get it. I'm right there, maybe not with you because you're extreme. I will judge this team on how they do in the playoffs. So, sure, they're playing well, but I care far less about that than I do can they get out of the first round. But in the middle of a six-game winning streak, you're still on this about Ime Udoka. At least you pronounced his name right this time. I'll give you credit for that. Maybe you caught the hints from me. The Rockets, if you want to call them this, were simply unfortunate that they never had the first overall pick. They couldn't draft Wimby. They tried to be in position to draft Wimby.
Yeah. They literally tied with the Spurs.
They won
a coin flip.
They just didn't win the lottery. Yeah. Now, much to Wimby's delight, if we remember the clip. And Cooper Flagg, they were too good to be in position to draft Cooper Flagg. They were the second seed in the West when Cooper Flagg was drafted. So I don't know if that was deemed, you're trying to position that as a criticism, that they weren't in a position to grab one of them. They tried with Wimby. It just didn't get done. And the team has won 50-plus games 1 year on the way to doing it again this year. If they make it to a conference finals, do you still feel the same way, or because you're like maybe a Houston hater, you are going to be feeling this way no matter what happens? Even if they win a title, you'll find a way to take it away from them. I mean, it's just the luck of the draw. I mean, I can't get on them for not having the first overall pick in these drafts, or for the most part, you would say they hit on these guys. They may not have a star from the guys they've drafted in the top five. Jalen Green, part of the Kevin Durant trade, so that certainly helps. Jabari Smith's a fine deluxe role player at this point in his career. And Reed is a guy developing. And then Amen, who wasn't a top three pick, likely has the highest ceiling if he could find a jump shot consistently. So Rafael Stone has done fine. And their best draft pick as far as accomplishments was in the mid-teens in Alpi. So I'm not going to get on them on the draft. How they put this team together and what they can do in the playoffs, we can have a discussion after the season's over. I mean, using Wimby and Cooper Flagg against them was a little rough.
It's also like, you know, this message brought to you by June of 2025 when the Mavericks picked. Like, nothing has changed.
Nothing.
I mean, maybe the Rockets should trade Kevin Durant, Amin Thompson, Aparin Şengün, Jabari Smith, and be bad enough to where, and the team, and like the city, like revolts against the team in such a venomous way where people think that's like a conspiracy to move the team to Vegas. And in a way of appeasing that, they're like, the NBA is like, hey, how about you get the first overall pick with the generational guy
for the 2028 draft?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's how they should go about it. Really?
That seemed Rafael Stone. Yeah, the Mavericks seem to have responded only because Cooper Flagg was their pick, but the city, they broke that team's heart. They broke that city's heart by making that
like
trade.
Like, if they had the number 2 pick and yeah, they got Dylan Cooper, Harper
yeah,
instead.
It was a good player, but not Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, not Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, it would have been a problem. So, once again, I'm not going to get after the team, the 50-plus win team, for not having Cooper Flagg or Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah. You said that you appreciate
the bit.
A commitment to the bit.
I mean,
I'll say you could have skipped a day, Eric, if this is the best you could come up with.
He's had better.
Yeah, this is like when an NBA team, like, don't have it tonight. They're going to lose by 25. This was the energy seemed lower, too. It was just...
I don't even... To Sean's point about the call, was Eric even really convicted enough that he should have made the call? He didn't seem...
There's no... Also, you know, another Eric staple, there was no, like, three other questions in it. It was just...
I think he just...
Mailed it in. It happens.
Yeah, you don't even have, like, a daily call streak, so you didn't even need to keep that going. It's not like you had to run out there like Josh Allen for a snap to keep a star streak alive. So, which is sad, but he did it. You didn't have to do that. Well, Eric, we welcome your call. Yeah. If you got some juice, yeah. I like someone who's committed, but Sean brings up a point. How committed were you really?
Come on. Give us a...
I won't even say we expect better, because I don't. But you've provided better in the past.
Yeah, call about, I don't know, For All Mankind or something. Call about for
which
the
I've
TV
restarted
show.
Watching. I mean, I didn't go back to the beginning, but now I'm watching that again. The race to control Mars continues for All Mankind.
Don't they have like ray guns or something? Like moon guns?
No, I mean, they brought like guns, but it's actually like regular old guns.
I thought they had like special guns.
I mean, they built guns that can work in space, but they're not like they're not lasers or anything.
Oh,
it's not Star Wars or anything like that. I'm in the middle of that. But Eric, try again. Do you think Eric, when he called in, thought that at any point he get destroyed like this?
Oh, no, he probably
there's
didn't.
No chance.
I thought you were gonna say, did he think that he had like a heater on his
after
hand?
Further review?
Do I have a hit on my hand?
No, after that further review. The show has determined conclusively that even Eric didn't think he had anything in the tuck. He just decided, hey, let me get a call off. Sometimes you make a pass. You don't always have to shoot. Shooters shoot, but sometimes shooters pass too. And you could have passed on today.
Yeah. We have off days too, you know.
Off days? The whole show.
It's like... We have such a standard that even the off day is kind of like
blended.
We can make it work.
Yeah, I mean, when Michael's not here, it's pretty shoddy, honestly. Thank you for the call, Eric. I'm sure you appreciate the follow-up that we provided. If you want to be the next person we judge critically, 713-780-3776. Or you bring something great to the table.
Yeah, or we're so enraptured by the conversation you started that we don't have time to evaluate your call.
Yeah, because we like what you brought. We'll get to what Wilson Contreras was up to when we come back. Also, the non-trade, but it does have some basis in reality because a member of an NFL team called a member of the Texans to suss out how they felt about a Texan star. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So take it with a grain of salt because it is AI overview. I asked them this question, and this is based off of what happened last night. Wilson Contreras plays for the Red Sox. They're not having a great year, so nerves may be frayed, although he's got to be feeling pretty good. Venezuela won the World Baseball Classic, so that's good for him. But the regular season is not going well for the Red Sox. He's off to a middling start. He got hit by a baseball again, which happens. But does it happen to the level of 24 times by one team? I asked AI Overview, what's the record for the number of times being hit by one team? And it says Wilson Contreras at 24. He's also been hit by the guy who hit him last night 6 times. I don't know the record for the number of times a pitcher has hit one player. But here's Wilson Contreras, because he was upset. He let it be known he was upset during the game, and then he had a hard slide into second that could be considered dirty. Spikes were up, clipped the covering, I don't know if it was the second baseman, the shortstop, clipped his calf, kind of. You could see it in the replay. Here's Wilson Contreras after the game.
It's not just a hit by pitch. That's the 24th time that they hit me in my career, 24th. And that's the 6th time they hit me. And they always say, I'm not trying to hit you. That get old. So next time they hit me again, I'm going to take one of them out. That's what happened. That's a message. That's a message.
He tried to send a message. You know what? I'm with him. I don't think it's a coincidence one guy hits a guy 6 times.
No. I mean, he used to play for the Cardinals. So, like, they're
more games against
the
Brewers.
They just played a lot in the division. 24 times is still.
That's a lot.
And, like, and he also played for the Cubs, also in the NL Central.
So there's a lot of opportunities.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's, what, played, like, 10, 12 years in the league?
He made his debut in 2016.
Okay, so 10 years.
You're hitting me about
over twice a season?
2.4 times a season you're going to hit me?
And this is 10 games into this one?
Yeah.
And he plays on the opposite league?
And one guy has hit me 6 times? Nah, I'm with him.
Yeah.
I don't know what the message is because he clipped an infielder. I'm not sure what that infielder has to do with anything. But when the guy who's hit me 6 times does it again, I'm going to bark at him. And you know what? Maybe I'll take a suspension to get after him a little bit. Because at some point...
Have we had like a proper like mound storming?
This season?
Not this season. Even like last season. Did we have one? I remember Harper like... But I think it might have been when he was still a National. Or maybe it was a Philly. But Harper charged the mound. It's like it doesn't really happen as often as it feels like, you know, it warrants. And I think Wilson Contreras, I think it'd be... He's already said that he's going to send a message. I don't know what message he can send.
I think I think he's saying taking one of them out was the message. That was the message he sent by sliding hard in the second base.
Again, what the shortstop.
But then he did say, so next time they hit me again, I'm going to take one of them out. So he tried at least he tried to send a message, and he's saying
the next time
again, we're going to have more problems.
Yeah.
So Woodruff is the pitcher in question who's hit him for the 6th time. The Brewers themselves are like, yeah, whatever. Like Christian Yelich just said, like, we've seen this skit for the last 10 years. He's just trying to get his team fired up. That's what Brandon Woodruff said. You know what? I don't know what it is, but if you hit me 24 times over the course of a career, and one guy's hit me 6 times, one guy's hit me, what's the math?
Basically every other year.
A fourth of the times that the entire team has hit me? Nah, we got a problem. We got a problem. We're gonna have a talk.
Yeah.
And maybe more than a talk. I don't know. I don't really care about unwritten rules. It's not part of the deal, but if I got it and I know that's 24 times, he probably knows that was the 24th time. No one had to alert him to it. He just knows he goes up there, the Brewers are going to hit him.
Yeah.
Like, the Brewers can pass it off and go, he's just being him. But if he is the record holder for a number of times an opponent has hit him, then maybe he has a point. And there, what's the explanation? I guess you would just say he's been in the division long enough that this happens.
Yeah, but I mean,
did Biggio get hit by the Cubs 24 times? He got hit a lot. Maybe the Cubs did. I don't know.
Yeah.
Over the course of his career.
But, like, even still.
That's a lot.
24 times. What, Biggio played for almost 20 years, I think? A little bit less? It'd be a lot. It'd be a lot of times to get hit.
I'm trying to find it. But that was, other than what happened with the Astros, unfortunately, that was the thing I took note of, that Contreras knew the number. Mm-hmm. It turns out, it's far out seeds and what a lot of guys have been hit. How many times a lot of guys have been hit by one team?
And he's like,
I think he's got a point.
I'm going to get you guys. Next time, I'm bringing hell with me.
If Woodruff hits him, I ain't saying bring your bat with you, but maybe we throw punches. If Woodruff gets to a seventh time in one season, if it hits seven this year or whenever it happens, I think we throw in hands.
Yeah. No, for sure. I 100% think he should do that if he gets hit, you know, I guess on the return trip to Boston.
I don't know if they do series for series.
Oh, they don't do that?
I don't know. They may in interleague play. I don't know.
Because they've expanded interleague play. I thought they did that. Or maybe it's just you play every team once, but not home and home once. I forgot what it was.
I don't know what the rules are here, but I'm firmly on the side of Red Sox, which is normally not the case. Particularly with no connection to the Brewers. I mean, I don't care what happens to them. Yeah.
Wilson Contreras, though, he's, 10 games into being a Red Sox?
It's not really a Red Sox, per se.
23 times he got hit as not a Red Sox.
And I don't have a big issue with the Brewers or the Cubs at this point because they're in American League City. Certainly are far more concerned with the Red Sox, at least as the playoffs I've been concerned. So
they have two more games this series.
So let's see what happens. And if he gets hit again, it's go time, right? It's got to be. You got to back up the words. But don't take it out on a middle infielder. Go after a pitcher, whoever it may be. And you know what? If you want to run out to center field because Yelich had words about how this is you, go do that.
Yeah, Yelich can capture one too. Yeah.
In fact, the thing you do is they think you're going after the pitcher because it's on the same path.
Yeah.
You shake them a little bit.
Dead leg him.
Yeah, because a pitcher thinks you're coming after him, he'll probably chuck a glove at you, whatever pitchers do when they think you're about to fight him, and run right at Yelich.
You run 175 feet.
And go look, because no one's going to expect it. Yelich won't expect it and go, hey, I heard what you said. Now what? That's what you do.
Yeah. They need
to really prove a point.
I guess if Contreras is playing first base that day, he can –
Or maybe when Yelich
can drop the gloves.
Maybe. He could do that, too, if Yelich gets on base.
Yeah,
he could
walks. Do that too. That'd be hilarious.
Conserve your energy. Yeah. Don't run out the center field. Wait for Yelich to get on.
I know he's going to come to me at some point.
I don't have to go to him. And then I can just drop him, or at least try to drop him. And people ask me why, I'm like, I warned you yesterday.
Yeah, he's trying to, he hits a, Yelich hits a gap shot, tries to leg it out for two, just clotheslines him.
Hey, man, I wasn't going to come after you, but I heard what you said. I was going to wait until someone else hit me, but I didn't like any of the words coming out of your mouth. I don't know the tone because I read it. I don't like the words. So it's go time. So we'll see what happens. If you're looking for something to beyond Astros or Rockets, which is a late start, take a look at what happens in Boston with the Brewers and the Red Sox.
That game might be over before the Rockets start.
Honestly, if we keep the challenges down, yes, at 5:45, it will be over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, forget about it. Definitely will be over. Let's just see if the 8-2 Brewers against the 2-8 Red Sox turns into something we actually care about. Hopefully so. So that's a thing. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the Patriots inquiring about a Texan star. We'll do that when we come back. First, I want to talk to you about Monument Chevrolet. Truck month has been extended. Go take advantage of it. And how to do that? First, you find the truck that you will love. And you find that truck at MonumentChevrolet.com. Truck Month includes the Silverado 1500s, the Silverado HD, the EV Silverado, and the Colorado as well. For that 2026 Silverado 1500, you get the supplier discount, which means they're giving you the seller's price. That's the cheapest price they can offer on that truck. So find the model you want, find the deal you want, and head on over to Monument Chevrolet. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Once you get there and you see the car or truck or SUV that you're looking for, ask for Jeff. He is their point person. He is their general manager. Any questions about the vehicles there, he'll have an answer for you. And, of course, he'll direct you to one of their great salespeople. They have people who have been there for years because it's like a family, and you become part of that family as soon as you step on the lot. Enjoy the great service and the great vehicles all at one place. That's Monument Chevrolet. So the website, one more time, is monumentchevrolet.com. They're in Pasadena. Head on out there and get a great vehicle from great people. That's Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We didn't point out that Wilson Contreras' brother is the catcher for the Brewers, so there's a lot of ties there. Maybe have a conversation with your brother about things. See what the hell's going on there. But we move on from that. Let's get to this. So Lance brought this to the table, and he didn't reveal names because it's just something that happens. One executive or member of the personnel team for a franchise calls another to see what's going on, what could happen, and that's what happened here, where someone from the Patriots called someone from the Texans, and I say someone because it didn't reach the level of this is actually going to be a real thing. He said it late in the show that a Patriots personnel person called a Texans personnel person and said, hey, how do you guys feel about Nico Collins? That's the star in question. What would it take? Or I don't even know if they got to that point, but how would you feel about having a real discussion about Nico? And the Texans guy promptly said, I'm not even taking this to a guy who could make a decision, that being Nick Caserio. Not happening. So it didn't even get to the point where there could be a real discussion about it. But it's April 7th, 11:35. We can have a discussion about it in the sense of you have a quarterback you're trying to still nurture. You have a star receiver. The prevailing thinking is you need a number one receiver to help your quarterback, particularly if he's young, reach his potential. And that has been the conversation about C.J. Stroud since his rookie year. There's that potential. Can he reach it? So you would understand why that Texans personnel person would be like, no, we're not doing that. We're not trading Nico Collins. We like Nico Collins. It's the reason you want him. But, Sean, I brought up the Devontae Adams trade, the one that sent him to the Raiders, not the one that got him to the Jets. The Raiders one. Back in, I think it was 2022, Devontae Adams was traded from the Packers to the Raiders. Remember all that hunky-dory stuff? I really want to play with my college teammate. Bad decision.
It really was a terrible decision.
Yeah, what are you doing? I mean, stop it. You can hang out with Derek in the offseason.
And then he wanted to play with the Jets with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that was his boy.
It's like, dude, like branch out.
Yeah. Yeah. Expand.
Yeah.
Expand your horizon. Well, now
he's
in LA.
Seen some of the things that these other quarterbacks
see? Wasn't a great plan with Matt Stafford? Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah. He could have done that.
Yeah, now you might be their number one. We'll see what happens with Puka when he goes to a wellness retreat. We'll see what happens there. The trade for Devontae Adams. The Raiders acquired him for a first-round pick, number 22 overall, and a second-round pick, number 53 overall in that draft. And They signed him to a major extension, all part of the process. You trade for a guy, you're going to give him a lot of new money. So if I said, because Sean talked about it when I proposed to him, that putting a number on the actual draft pick actually, for whatever reason, changes how you feel about the draft pick, because now you know where it is as opposed to the hope that, hey, this team could be awful, and who knows how high the pick would be. That was the bet the Cardinals took with the Texans when the Texans wanted to get up to 3 to take Will Anderson. The Cardinals took the bet that the Texans would be bad because the Texans had multiple picks to trade, future picks to trade, and they had the Browns pick due to the Deshaun Watson trade. The Cardinals are like, hey, we want your pick. You know, they got Deshaun. You guys, we think, are going to suck, so we want your pick. Turns out they were better off taking the Browns pick. You make that bet thinking the Texans would be bad, because at one point people thought that would be a top five pick the Texans were trading away, because yeah, there wasn't a lot of hope that C.J. Stroud was going to help turn this thing around, and people were wrong. And this is why the C.J. Stroud conversation still continues to this day about his first season. So let's just say for whatever reason, it's not the Patriots, because they're expected to be good.
Yeah, and they have like the 30th pick.
Yeah,
31st.
Yeah, let's say a future first and second, and think of a team who could make the trade, but they turn out to be bad.
Yeah.
But not like top five bad. They're going to be average. Let's say average.
Yeah, you're just going
to
get.
If I told you you're getting the
15 to 20.
If I told you you're getting 15 to 20 plus a second round pick in that same range, so let's say 30, let's say 40 to 45, whatever. Yeah. You making that deal? A first rounder in the 15 to 20 range and a second rounder in 2027 between 40 and 50?
No, probably because, like,
you're not even discussing it, because this is what happened. I don't know what the Patriots would have offered, because they never got to that point, but they didn't even, the Texan personnel man was like, we're not even talking about this.
Yeah, I think we, you know, we call a meeting, you know, on the Texan side and talk about it, but I don't know if it ever gets to a point where you then call Elliott Wolff or whoever, you know, Mike Vrabel, whoever's like actually the decider on the Patriots to go back and forth, just because, like, you trade Nico Collins and then just immediately your biggest need is wide receiver, or like a wide receiver one. It's like you almost need to then package those assets to then go get A.J. Brown, is basically what you
have to do. It's like when A.J. Brown got traded from the Titans.
Yeah.
And the Titans were missing a top receiver. They tried to draft one in Treylon Burks. That was a disaster. So
Treylon Burks was a higher pick than what we're talking about, too.
He was, let me find out where he was. Let me see. He was drafted in the same 2022 draft, the same draft where those picks were given up for Davante Adams. He was drafted 18th overall. So right in that range we're talking about.
I thought he was a little bit higher. Yeah. But yeah. And Treylon Burks, we all know how that worked out.
Poorly.
Where it's like, if you make this trade, it's just like, you know, for this year's draft, like, you just immediately need to draft, like, Mekhi Lemon.
I guess the difference would be if you are a proponent of the trade because you don't want to pay Nico whatever it might be he's asking for, over $30 million a year, you'd say you've already made your draft pick as a wide receiver. You drafted Higgins. You drafted Noel. You've already made those picks.
Yeah, but I've also seen him play.
Well, that is a problem.
You know, like when you draft, I mean, what, like, I'm not saying if you draft a guy the 23rd pick in the draft or whatever, he's Justin Jefferson. But Justin Jefferson was the 23rd pick in the draft.
Yeah.
So it's like, it is possible to get an immediate difference maker. Not just difference maker, immediate, like, one of the best receivers in the league.
Where's Jackson Smith and Jigbo?
Yeah.
I mean, it took a little bit for him. Not a long time, but he wasn't the top.
2 years?
Yeah, he wasn't the top receiver as a rookie, but he got there pretty quickly playing with Sam Darnold, of all people. So, to your point, you don't have to have a top pick. It does help, though.
It does super help.
Ja'Marr Chase.
A lot more examples of top 10 picks.
Yes.
But, and, like, you know, Justin Jefferson, famously, the pick before him was an Eagle. The Eagles selecting Jalen Reagor. You know, like, that is the 20s right there. It's like you can, there's two guys right next to each other on your board. You pick one, he's off your team in, like, basically, 24 months. The other guy is a future Hall of Famer. Whoops. Sorry. Pick the wrong one. And yeah, there's just no.
And that's why you have to eventually trade for A.J. Brown, because you did pick the wrong receiver.
To me, there's like no need for the Texans to do this. You know, like,
I would agree. There's nothing. picks are something that really gets people going.
Yeah.
But you have a star player right now.
Like,
you would only hope, you could only hope to use those picks to acquire that player.
What, top
a player 10, of that level.
Top 10, top 8 receiver in the league, you know, like yeah. in that range.
Yeah, and who knows what it would be if you had a more proficient passing game. Where could he
That's,
be
yeah.
listed? Yeah, it was interesting that a team would even, hey, what'd you think about it? And even more interesting and maybe confidence inspiring, the Texans guy was like, no. Cut it out. I'm not even talking to the guy who would actually make this decision. That's how strongly we feel about Nico Collins.
Yeah. I think I would run up the pole, flagpole.
Just to say you bring everything to your
guy.
Yeah.
With some brownie points with Nick.
He might have said that to the guy just to say, hey, no, and then he would talk to Nick and just to be sure. That probably is the best way of going about it. What if I said 2 first round picks?
We're getting there. We're getting
so you, maybe, this is more about the unknown because I don't know how much more you would get than 2 first round picks.
Exactly.
It's more about the unknown of I don't know what players I could get in return and where the picks would land. It's just you have a really good player.
It's also
maybe a great player.
With 2 first round picks, could move up in the draft next year, you know, get a quarterback if we need to.
Well, then the whole build is being torn down, at least on offense.
Yeah, you know. Well, we do want to go away from being a passing team, and that really, like, no one ever says that when they have, like, an awesome quarterback.
Yeah,
I guess the Bills kind of did that, but, you know.
Yeah, the Bills never expressly, and to be fair, the Texans have. This is a narrative being created by fans and maybe even some media members about how the Texans want to play football because of how great their defense is. I haven't heard Nick Caserio or DeMeco Ryan say, we want to make CJ Stroud less important to what we do.
Yes, it is. We just want to be a physical run the ball.
Which implies a certain type of way of going about things, yes.
But, you know, I think that's just the playing Madden franchise mode part of me of just being like, well, I'm not sure about the quarterback. Maybe, you know, make a move and then make another move to get the quarterback. And then we'll figure out receiver later.
A quarterback who you don't even know really exists. You could assume there's a great quarterback out there.
I will trade up for him, yes.
Even though you don't know that the quarterback is really there to be taken.
I don't even know who it is, if he's good or not.
I just want the opportunity have the chance to do it.
I want to be able to sell myself and fan base that, you know, hey.
We got all this ammunition to go get the guy if he's there. But what if he's not there? Hey, stop with that reality.
He's there.
Stop with that potential reality. We're dealing in this potential reality over here where he is there.
Yeah, we're getting Sam Levin, all right? we're getting Darian Mintzel.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, because, you know, you're not going to be able to get a top 5 pick. You know,
your defense is too good.
Yeah, it's not going to be able. You're not going to be able to get more Manning. Like, all the, like, guys on the, you know, when they post the way too early 27 NFL draft, like, it's not going to be the guys, like, in the pictures on that article. It'll be, like, the next rung down. It'll be, like, the, you know, in past drafts, like, I'll say Bo Nix. I was going to say J.J. McCarthy. Whoops.
Nope, not great.
But it'll be, like, you know, the 4th quarterback taken.
Yeah, and even if you think highly of Darian Mintz, if he's as good as you think he is, he won't be available because he'll just rise up the charts anyway.
Yes, but then, you know, we need Sam Levitt, you know, the guy who will be the 15th pick of the draft.
Yeah, look to South Carolina. What do you think of Lenore Sellers, everybody?
Yeah, Lenore Sellers. Yeah. You want to run the ball, right?
he can add to that. He's a physical player. So it was not even a hypothetical because it was a real thing that got turned down really quickly by a Texans personnel man.
Do you think that we have talked about it longer than, like, anyone in a Texans polo shirt has, like, even thought about
it? I don't know how those conversations go because I don't know how hard the sell job was from the guy on the Patriots. Like, was it like, hey,
just spitballing here?
Spitballing, or did they actually have a talk about potential compensation and it didn't even reach a level where the guy from the Texans could talk to Nick Caserio about it? I don't know how those things go.
I just
wonder. But you might be right. It might have been a 5-minute conversation.
If our conversation has been longer than their conversation.
It's very possible, but it was substantial enough to, yeah. for it to filter and, to someone else.
And I turned it into a maybe draft a quarterback.
Yeah. Which
that probably didn't happen on the crawl.
I don't think the Texans personnel guy was like, you know what? If we acquire those picks, it could eventually lead to us getting away from the quarterback we say we like, but we actually don't like. I don't think that happened.
And I don't know if they actually don't like him. I'm just saying that as someone
I believe
eyeballs.
They I believe
someone
well,
of the eyeballs that watched the last two games.
I believe they do like him. I believe they would tell you that what happened in those last two games are not representative of who he is as a player, and we will get this right. I think they believe that. Maybe another year will dissuade them from that opinion, but I do believe they think CJ's their guy.
It isn't who he is as a player.
No, but...
but there is some of that in there, and that's worrying.
The problem is the floor is very low. We have seen the lowest it can be, and that was very low, and that might shake some people up. It did, at least for the in the immediate aftermath of the game and in the game itself when they're asking for Davis Mills. So I think the Texans will toss that aside and go, hey, that's not him. It is something that won't happen again, I believe they would say.
Okay.
Which would
probably not.
It's very hard to throw
probably
four
won't
pick
throw four interceptions
in the first half of a playoff game.
Probably won't.
That's very hard to do.
It probably won't be as bad as that.
Got hope is nowhere close. That's the hope. Oh. Don't make that noise.
Five fumbles against?
Yeah.
Some of those were bad snaps.
We don't have to relive all the disaster that was CJ Stroud's playoff performance. I would tell you, they would say that's an outlier and you won't see it again.
It is an outlier. It doesn't have to be that big of, an outlier to be a bad game, though.
Sean, we're not looking for reality here.
You're setting the bar, really.
Don't be me on the John and Lance show here. That's what I would do as they try to sell optimism. I mean, I
don't know.
I mean, it's right in line with what I think, but I would say the Texans don't believe it will come anywhere close.
I'll just say I see a lot of people being like, how are they going to be able to afford all these players when CJ Stroud is making
that is a question I
50, you know, high 50s millions of dollars per year? And I say, are we sure we're going to have that problem? That's just my thought is I'm not sure that problem will occur.
The only reason even if he stays at his current level of play, that it could be a problem and likely will be a problem is because all quarterbacks get their money.
Yes, it is just in the like. Yeah, the Dolphins, the Jags, the
throwing at the Cardinals, everybody.
They all looked at themselves and went, I guess we have to.
We're not going
to
get a better option. It turns out you get fired
when
you decide. Well, the Jags haven't. Those guys haven't. Well, one, the coach did. But the player, but the GM, did the GM get fired too for making that decision? Well, not for that decision, but not winning enough games.
Gladstone's in year one.
Yes.
Or year just two finished
now.
Year one.
So all those guys, and no one currently with the Jags would point to the Trevor Lawrence decision as the reason those guys got fired. But guys who played a major part in that decision are gone. The guys who played a major part in the Tua decision are gone. The Cardinals, that they fire their GM, and the coach is certainly gone.
Coach definitely gone.
Did the GM who made that decision, is he gone too?
Oh, yeah. Didn't Monty Austin for it? Didn't he get fired?
So all those guys who decided there was no better option are out of jobs. It happens. You pay a guy like that, it doesn't work out, you lose your job. So let's just hope it doesn't get to that.
Actually, no, the Cardinals GM is still around.
Yeah, so I thought he might have kept his job with the Kyler thing not being his final straw. He got to hire a new coach, see how it goes. All right, we got a short segment coming back to close us out. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5. It's
the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We talked a bit about the Rockets' late start tonight. It didn't look like they were going to get there, but they got a chance to match their win total from last year. I believe they finished 52-30 last year due to a very hot month of March. It looks like the back end of March and April might help them get to that point again. So they may wind up winning 52 games if they play it out and keep their guys in.
49 right now?
Yeah, 49 wins so far this year. And
they have a Grizzlies game that, hey, listen.
The Grizzlies were
better win that one.
After we're not taking anything seriously best last night, they were trying to set a record for most threes made. Now, they're the Grizzlies, so they're losing. But they were trying to set a record for most threes made. And they were pulling kind of what the Heat did, fouling on purpose when they were trying to get to Bam's 83. They did not break the record in the 142-126 loss to the Cavs, but they did try to hit 30, which would set a single game record. They only got to 29, and if you watch the end of that Grizzlies game, it was very unserious. So you would expect the Rockets to get that one, as long as they don't give up 33 threes to the Grizzlies. That's a win, so that's at least 50. Let's see if they can get to 50 tonight, though, against the Suns.
They hit 29 threes against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who did not play Donovan Mitchell or James Harden.
And lost by 16. Yeah.
That is like, I don't know how like any two of those things are possible. And they did three of them.
Now, the Grizzlies didn't, well, I don't know. They played their backups 30 minutes per and only played some of their starters under 20 minutes. So I'm not sure how this evolved. I guess those backups were two guys knocked down six threes, so they got more minutes. But some of their starters were 4 out of 5 and 2 out of 3, but they actually care about Cedric Callard as a player and his future, so they didn't play him very much. So, as I said, very unserious basketball. Maybe we'll see more of that when the Rockets face them. So we'll chalk that as at least win 50. If they don't win another game besides that, we'll see if they can get to 52 and match last season.
Although, if they hit 29 threes against the Rockets, they're winning.
They score 126 against the Rockets. They're winning.
They're winning.
Yeah, but not against – well, I say that, but the Cavs didn't have James Harden or Donovan Mitchell still score 142.
True.
So what are we doing here? The Rockets will at least have Kevin Durant out there for 39 minutes. So
That is true.
So they may win that – the Rockets may win that way – when that one That'd giving be, up 29 makes for
three. And it's in Toyota Center, so it'll be Houston Astros night at 2026 Houston Astros night presented by the Rockets.
Sure.
Where both teams are having career offensive nights. And
I'm not with take the Grizzlies away from Memphis, but if you're Memphis, you sure you want them? After what they're putting you through the last couple seasons? You sure? Love to have a professional team, but they're not bathing themselves in glory and forcing you to watch them play.
I'm not sure if they're being professional right now.
No, I said it was very unserious. They're not being professional.
Yeah. Oh, man. Imagine being the Cavaliers, having to stay in that crappy hotel that all the NBA players hate.
It's gotten to a point where random content creators are showing up in Memphis and staying in the hotels and saying, hey, it's not so bad. Like, yeah, LeBron wouldn't be in this pool, but the rooms are pretty nice. So that's what we're doing now. All right, that music means we're done for the day. The Rich Eisen Experience is up next. We'll see how deep into his cups he is with Michigan when that show gets started. But since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
Nope, I do not. Thank you, sir, for the offer. We're done. Jeremy and Joe after Rich. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.